B-Pod Studios.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays. It's time now for the Gargano and Mertitus Midday Show with Anthony Gargano and Jason Mertitus. It starts now.
What up?
Wow! Good morning, everybody! Happy, happy Thursday to all across the Delaware Valley. All-Star Day banging! What a great time. Seeing everybody. Jason Mertitus, Anthony Gargano, the Tunis Midday Show. And joining us for the first hour, first of all, T-Mac is there. What a tremendous dude T-Mac is.
Embedded.
He is he's terrific at what he does. The station's lucky to have him as a part of the family, covering the Eagles. True football man. What do you say, T-Mac?
What's going on? I think I might be the most tenured person at 97.5 The Fanatic, as a matter of fact.
Really?
You're before Mikey Ness, right?
A lot of people don't before realize Mike. McManus has been around this station a long time.
I was about to introduce you. Not that you need any introductions, but, you know. But my, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I might be the OG here.
Really?
Started out as a producer.
You did?
Yes. And
intern like, before that.
And you interned.
Well, how did you get into writing? Because you're a good writer and good reporter. So see, these producers, they're not good with reporters and stuff. Right, Mike? I'm going to introduce Mike in a minute, but right, Mike? How did you become such an accomplished journalist? I'm impressed.
Thank you. I was an English major at the University of Rhode Island, and I started.
I was an English major at Temple.
There you go.
Yeah. URI, a Ram.
Yeah, I came back here. I started working in newspapers. You know, I was covering high school field hockey.
So you did what we did.
Worked for the reporter and the Intelligencer and did all that.
Oh, the Intelligencer.
Yeah, put my dues in.
Oh, that's beautiful.
See, I worked for the not that Intelligencer.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Then I hopped in the radio, you know.
You had our background then. That makes perfect sense to me now. It all fits. And there he is. Speaking of the OG, there's only one godfather, 97.5 The Fanatic.
True.
All right? That's it. He's Don. He's Don Corleone. He is the legendary Mike Missinelli. The reason why I'm here, quite frankly.
Yes.
Dog does not wear shorts.
The reason why you're in sports talk radio in general.
Yes. The reason why I'm in sports talk and the reason why I left the other station.
Right. Because here's the thing about all of us here, Tim and you and myself, we had to make that crossover decision.
Oh, man.
Right? The crossover decision was really tough.
I didn't want to do it.
You were embedded in newspapers. We're both working at the Inquirer. You were after I was. And that initial crossover decision is like, really? Because you're so good at this and you're comfortable. Do you want to take a shot on another venture in semi-journalism?
Correct. But at least you had the gift of an orator. Well, you had
I don't think I did.
Really?
I'll be honest with you. As a reporter, I was fairly shy.
Yeah, that's the people don't realize that we're very shy people.
You're not shy.
I really am.
I'm teeter scratching. I hope I'm the only one who doesn't just pick up on that.
Man. No.
If shy you mean outgoing, crazy, and insane, then yeah, you're right. You are shy.
Well, good morning, Herbie.
You're a maniac.
No, but in a weird way.
Mikey misses a back in the room lurker.
Yeah, I'm a little more reticent than you. But as a journalist, you have to kind of be. You can't be an observer. Bombastic. You have to be an observer. You be in the background. You can't make yourself the story. And then when you cross over, it's a completely different thing. But I cracked into this business with Stan Hockman in radio.
Wow.
Because we were working for the Inquirer, and we all got this new venture of Sports Talk Radio came in, and everybody at the Inquirer wanted a little piece of it, but on a part-time basis. So I did a Saturday morning show with Stan Hockman.
Wow, that's cool.
And here, my background was good because I got to blend with two venerable guys and learn from, like Stan, and then full-time it was Steve Frederick.
Yeah, yeah.
So I had the proper steps, I think. I was able to listen on how they did things because of how experienced they were. Stan was like multi-experienced. He was a TV anchor, and so but he was the same always. But I learned from both of those guys.
Yeah, it's interesting because you also, you had that thing in you with Steve-O. It was a beautiful mix.
Tremendous.
Between the two of you. You had a really good chemistry as the venerable broadcaster and the young Turk. And like you were the Turk who would push buttons and, he would do the little, I still remember these tricks. T-Mac. So Steve-O would be there and then he'd go, "Oh, we've been busy all day on the phones." And Mike would go, "No, we haven't."
Yeah. He was the
Steve
would all be, the callers hung up during the break,
yeah,
Michael.
Yeah, well, I don't understand why these callers hang up during the break. He used to get downright angry at it, right? But at first it wasn't like that smooth. Because I didn't know anything about him. I'd never met him.
Yeah.
Growing up, I had listened to him.
During
and
Sixer
I,
just, games.
I didn't like him a little bit. As a sports talk host, I didn't like him. But working with him, I saw the value of him.
Right, that's interesting.
But at first, I was, I didn't know where to go.
It's very structured.
They threw me into a drive time slot, and it's like, okay, now you're in real radio. And so I had to play my way. And what I found out was that I could be the young punk to his venerable status. So we worked it that way.
You were allowed the ability because of his structure to just kind of do what you wanted and riff off that.
Breaking news here. Jim Salisbury says
Gabe's out.
Gabe, not yet, but that will be resolved today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He says the drama will be concluded today, and there will be an announcement today.
There will be an announcement.
They're burying it, Michael, under the guise of the 10-year celebration. They're trying to bury the news.
Yeah, this is
the whole very thing.
It's absurd. I hate this franchise. I hate them.
Because the problem
goes well beyond Gabe. Gabe is a bad manager, but whatever. He's not even pulling the strings because it comes from the GM office. Gabe's just a tan puppet. That's all he is. He's a puppet with a great tan.
I like Mike's theory. I'm buying that one. Middleton's feeling beholden to Klentak.
He is.
And other people want the manager out.
I thought he would be stronger than that because the way he reacted to that hitting situation this year was like, but we're changing this, boom. And I thought that was going to be the resolution at the end of the year. But he's let Klentak. He almost feels sorry now.
But how's he? Forget Gabe for a second. How is Klentak not the big issue here? They can't identify talent. I'm watching Walker Buehler last night dominate, right? The year he had, they took Cornelius Randolph.
Yeah.
They have no clue when it comes to.
Look at all the players their system has produced.
Howie Kendrick, in fact, left.
With real talent. Their catcher is a young kid, looks like he's 12. Seager didn't have a great series. Bellinger didn't have a great series. Peterson. But you're talking about a core of guys that the system produces. The Cardinals are the same way. The Braves are the same way. It's uncanny. So Middleton doesn't want to look... He's a prideful man, right? He doesn't want to look stupid by getting rid of two guys that he endorsed in March. There's no question in my mind that he thinks he would look silly.
It's to the detriment and downfall of his franchise.
It is, and that's where he's not strong.
How embarrassing is it that the Nationals move on while Bryce Harper's home with the Phillies?
But look at this. Klentak, he's got the gift. Klentak can talk. Right, you've heard him talk.
He
keeps talking. He's got the Dartmouth thing, the whole bit. So he's like going to Middleton, saying, pulling on his not heartstrings, but semi heartstrings, saying, "Listen, you trusted me. You hired me because you trusted me. You gave me extension because you trusted me. I'm asking you to trust me now. And here's the reasons why. Here's why we weren't a bad team. Blah 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 blah." And Middleton is kicking back, saying, "All right, maybe he's right." That's what I think this delay
he wants
is
to give the benefit of the doubt.
I agree with you. I agree with that assessment. Yep. The problem is it's going to cripple this franchise even more. They have a dearth of talent. Look, who's real? I don't know. Everybody talks about Alec Bohm. Is Bohm real?
No, you don't even know he's real, to be honest with you.
Why would you have any faith that any of them are real?
I can't believe a franchise can't develop a pitcher and an outfielder. An outfielder, T-Mac.
It's like when you used to hear about the prospects, like when Utley and Howard and these and Rollins were coming up,
yeah.
there was like this wave, and then it crashed and it hit ashore.
Kyle Drabeck.
Yeah, and here came you know here
yeah,
came
you
the talent at last.
As equity, the Jason Donalds,
yeah.
like the Astros,
yes,
did. Like the Astros,
yep.
build it, and then they were able to trade for Verlander and they go yeah. do it with the dip.
Now the waves, they never crash. They never yeah. come. They never come ashore.
That's right. Yep. That's right. All right, we got lots to get to.
Yeah,
it's
we really
All-Star
do.
Day. The best is I got my boy. Like, Jason.
You two are copacetic.
No, we've always been like dear friends.
Yep.
This has always just been a. It's work, but we're friends beyond this. We were always friends.
Yeah, me and T-Mac are going to sit back and watch the show. We're going to hang out.
Absolutely right.
How long we do a show together?
Yeah. It was the best. I loved it.
How long? Three years?
Not even.
You rolled. I thought it was like 18 months.
That's when you MMR. Went to do the MMR thing.
I was a free agent.
You broke my heart.
Yeah.
Fredo.
you go and do
broke
that.
My heart.
And then they clipped you, and you sat on the beach for 2 years getting paid.
That's
the best 2 years of your career.
A year and a half.
We had a great time.
It was fun.
Imagine your friend, like a dear friend of yours, you're doing a show together. Like you just, we would go from the show to the bar and continue the show. It was the same. It really wasn't a show. It was just a long
just
conversation.
To be broadcast. It's a continuation of your life.
Right.
Well, we make up stupid games at the bar.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. Give me the top
White
five.
White Sixers.
White Sixers of all time.
I used to bring, like, all my friends would come, and Mike was like, he was like Alex Trebek. He would come in and, all right, ready? And the next thing you know, it's like 2:00 in the morning. The lights are coming on.
It is the Midday Show. That's Anthony Gargano. It's All-Star Day. T-Mac in. Mikey Miss. Anthony Gargano. Jason Martinez. 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, let's talk a little Union. Right, playoffs for the Union. They start next weekend against New York. That's right. The New York Red Bulls and the Union Sunday afternoon, October the 20th, 3 o'clock. It's a perfect day. We got a little playoff Union action. The Eagles are on at night. So it's a perfect day, Junis, to get fired up on the pitch. Listen, the Union, what a year they've had. They've been tremendous. And now, first home playoff game since 2011. 8 years since a home playoff game at Talon Energy Stadium. You got to get down there. You got to bring home the W. That's right. Jim Curtin, who's been a fabulous coach, local guy. He has a terrific system. The captain, Alejandro Bedoya. They've had a wonderful year together, that whole crew. The Union came the ball, and look, they made a statement. Next Sunday, it's on Philadelphia Union, New York Red Bulls, MLS playoff soccer, right here in Philadelphia, 3 o'clock, down Energy Stadium. Place to be. Let's go, Union.
Gargano and Martinez Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
10 a.m. hour brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all styles of windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Excuse me.
All right.
Yeah, you're looking good, man.
It is Fanatic All-Star Day. 10 years since the radio station was born. Tim McManus, who was an OG original. Jason Martinez, who came over.
That was one of the first to come over.
I'll argue, made the station the station, who legitimized the station.
But it wasn't a station with Mike Iyer. It was just a radio signal with a show.
No, it's true, though. You know, you made
when I got here, it was pretty much that, right?
And you know, T-Mac will have my back here. You made the station a force, a real player in the dial.
100%. So the early days, we used to wait for the monthly rating book to come out, right? And it was the most depressing thing because, like, maybe they would register, but it would be like a 0.1 or a 0.2, and like you,
minimum threshold required.
Yeah, like everybody's like putting their heart into it, and you're like, all right, let's see what it is, and then it pops up, and you're like, oh my God, that's so bad.
Yeah.
Yes, and absolutely, you know, Mike is the reason why this ship took off.
Yeah,
well, question. Well,
Matt, you know, that's very flattering you guys to say. I'm watching this TV at Stephen A. Smith because that's what I was doing before I got here.
Yeah.
Right, I was working in New York with Stephen A. And it was a pretty good gig because they paid me to ride the train from Philly to New York to say 10 words and then get back on the train and go home with Stephen A. Right? So I was like,
New York, great.
This is fine by me. This is easy street. But then the challenge of this station trying to do something in the market was pretty cool.
Well, it also wasn't you to just play backseat to somebody. That's never been in your DNA, and you're a challenge guy. And by the way, you're a Philadelphia guy.
Yeah. It was a cool gig, though. Well, I liked it. Yeah. I didn't have any problem with it because he would amuse me.
What? Here's the thing.
Steven wanted to live like an NBA player.
Yes.
But he had a personal assistant would come in and bring him his clothes and his food. He had it on his payroll. I'm going, I want that. I always have somebody on my payroll.
Yeah, that'd be outrageous.
The funny thing is that when the station went to FM, and when you first came on, I was in management at the other joint. And of course, Anthony, you were there. And this station, like Tim said, was getting less than nothing prior to that, with the incarnation of the afternoon show before you, Do Me a Favor, the whole thing, right? And then you came in, and we were treating it there at the time like, whatever. Like, this place had zero effect on us. But then in 18 months, you toppled. And it was like, uh-oh. So I had to write a strategic plan when I was in management there. I think I've shown this to you, Mike. Mm-hmm. And it was about 2 months before 10 years ago.
Wait, hold on. We got news.
Breaking news. The Phillies have dismissed Gabe Kapler.
Yo!
There it is.
Ding dong, the game is dead.
Oh
my.
Gabe Kapler
finally made
fired.
The move on it.
Way to go, Johnny.
It took you that long to do that.
Well, I think that's cause for celebration.
Hey, you realize he couldn't possibly come back with him. Finally, he realized it.
Yeah.
Okay, but is that all the tweets said, Andrew, is that Gabe has been dismissed?
Yes.
Nothing about Klentak or McPhail?
No, he already said those guys are back.
Oh,
yesterday, the report was they're back.
Oh, great. Well, the good news is maybe we'll at least get some sort of press conference and we can ask Andy McPhail if we do, we do. If we don't, we don't. What he meant.
The interesting thing is going to be is who's the guy that comes in, because will the guy that come in play nicely with Klentak? Will he allow? Because look, you know, Klentak's the one that was making all the decisions from upstairs.
Yep.
On the field, he was making decisions. I know for a fact that, you know, his people run amok on the baseball side, running around. Mm-hmm. Now, you get a real manager in there, they're not going to put up with that.
I think there'll be a compromise. This is Middleton's gift to Klentak. You give me this, I'll give you a little.
Give you Showalter, who will play ball with you.
Right.
Because he's dying to get back in the game. Mm-hmm. He was, friendly with McPhail, mm-hmm. knows Klentak, so he'll play ball with you.
Yes.
Whereas a Dave Roberts is not playing ball with you.
Right.
A Joe Maddon and Joe Girardi, they're going to laugh at Matt Klentak.
Yeah. See, and I want Girardi. That's the guy that I want.
Might be a newfangled guy. Might not even be a well-known guy.
Wait, does Dusty Wapping get another one?
Raul Ibanez?
Yeah, I don't know.
They go the same route? They go the same route?
They go the
Flyers route? Be good. But, I don't know. Could they sell a bench coach from a playoff team? Could they sell that?
Well, there was some speculation that that's why they were taking so long, too, Mike, because they did like somebody that was still in play, and that's why it was part of the delay tactic here.
Well, two of them went out yesterday.
Yeah, so maybe that is in play. You want a high pedigree guy, though, right?
I don't care.
You just want anybody to
get? I take one step at a time. I knew you needed any change. You couldn't have come back with Kapler. You needed any change.
See,
any change to me is, and I'll just have to wait and see. I don't have a. There's nobody. You can't predict anybody's going to come in here and be a successful manager. So you take one step at a time. This guy didn't work. Let's see the next guy.
Well, I don't know how in the world you could possibly have come back with him when you had two seasons. And T-Mac, you see this.
Fell apart.
Where you fall. Yes, the bottom falls out each time. Like, you can't come back with a guy who got worse as the season went on.
It felt like the worm had turned a little bit. Like, I took my my 7 and my 4-year-old down for the last game of the season, right?
Wow, did you really?
Yeah, thinking, oh, this is a good idea. You know, I'll take them down.
Be able to get fan appreciation day?
Yeah, fan appreciation day. Be able to get a cheap ticket.
Or they started playing
we'll
Parker?
Time. Yeah, they don't care, right? It could be anybody.
You and 8 other people went down? That was nice.
But what I didn't account for was the level of vitriol that was going to be in the stands.
Oh.
You know, I didn't, that wasn't in the process of my thinking when I'm taking the little kids.
Oh, jeez.
Because people in the stands were not happy at all. And it was just a boo fest. This, you know, in particular, one guy that was just 2 rows down from us was just giving
it to
him.
That's the thing, it was weird about Middleton, because he had to realize that in bringing him back, he was setting his team up for failure with the fan base. Like, if they brought Kapler back and they started off slow, you have then blown out the entire season with negativity.
Yeah.
Because then you have to make a change in the middle of it and you mess it up. Like, why he couldn't realize that at the start of this process is beyond me.
Well, it seemed 101 that you got to give him a pound of flesh. Look, they want to, and you know, that's the conversation. Because, first of all, what Klentak and McPhail are saying is, oh, these people don't know anything. You know, sports radio, a bunch of blather, man. It's nothing.
They don't know the game.
They don't understand what's going on. You know, and so they come to an agreement. You got to give the mob a pound of flesh. It's just like bread and circuses. And, you know, we're going to put the games on. We're going to have the Lions out there. We're going to feed you grapes. We're going to feed you bread. We're going to give you wine. Shut up. Right? While we pilfer Rome. That's,
and profit.
That's all this thing is. And so there's an issue and the mob is angry.
Mm-hmm.
So when the mob's angry, to shut him up, you got to give him a pound of flesh.
Yeah, you throw little crumbs on the floor.
So here's Kapler as a pound of flesh. Here, T-Mac, now you can shut up.
Yeah, well, first they gave you the pitching coach, hitting coach, then they gave you the pitching coach, and the mob still wasn't satisfied. It was not enough flesh. And then they finally realized, well, I guess we got to give him the manager, too.
Maybe I read in that a little too much, but the game after the hitting coach gets fired and Charlie comes in, you know, and the offense just goes
it was crazy,
nuts.
Right?
And he's thinking, like, it's almost like a team acting like they were liberated.
Yeah.
You know? And that's, I don't know, that's how I looked at the Phillies hitting basically the whole season.
That was just happening. That was happenstance.
Quieted down in a quick second.
Yeah. It didn't last very long.
Some would tell me that if Charlie was talking, he would say, listen, I wasn't the hitting coach.
You mean now?
Even when he took over as hitting coach.
You can't take over the hitting coach and have that effect that quickly.
He would say, I don't even think that you could take over, period, because of all the other noise that goes on down there.
Yeah. Too many analytical guys getting in everybody's ear.
I mean, theoretically, you know, you got guys and, you know, are they true to their work? I mean, 2 years ago, you had a situation where Carlos Santana said they were playing Fortnite all night, right? Well, are they bringing their phones to the cage or are they doing work?
Well, and that's why Kapler had to go. See, that the climate of that is why the manager has to go. Forget about his lineups and his X and O's, because any idiot can manage a baseball game.
Right.
It's how your team is bonded. Under Charlie, you saw that bond. This guy, there wasn't a bond. And you can notice it right away. That's why, like, two eyeballs as an owner, I go, you know what? There's something missing with this team. So this manager has to go. And I'm disappointed that it took him that long. Because now I'm thinking, maybe he doesn't know what he's doing and he's weak.
Right. Did you have to fly around the country to come to this conclusion?
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, you could pick up the phone and go, hey, Bryce, what are you thinking?
Dude, you were in Washington for that five-game sweep
but
a couple weeks ago.
Bryce isn't going to really tell him. What player is going to say, the guy's got to go?
All right.
Nobody's going to do that because that's a stain that'll get out. In this day and age, that'll get out. Yeah. It'll taint that guy.
Yep. Yeah.
So you're not getting an accurate reading anyway.
Right. There's no rats.
And what are players like? They love a guy that runs a country club and not a tight clubhouse.
All right. Let me ask you guys this, and then I want to get to Carter Hart for a second. Who do you want? Well, Jace, I'll ask you first.
I want Girardi. I don't think they'll end up with Girardi because exactly what Mike said. Since the owner cut the legs off of the GM, and I think we all believe that Klentak absolutely wanted to retain Kapler, then the compromise is probably going to be Showalter because of the existing relationships there with McPhail and Klentak. But to me, nothing really changes overall, organizationally, philosophically, until Klentak and McPhail are gone.
Right. So when they want to like start being serious about being a franchise, and that's why I'm disappointed, Mike, right, and Middleton, because I thought this guy was going to be different.
All right, T-Mac, what do you... What
and
do
it's
you,
the same old, same
who
old.
Who do you want, and what does it mean that Kapler's gone?
I think Showalter's probably a decent answer for that. You need somebody, as Mike was saying, is going to kind of play ball. Like, you can't have, as much as people are probably pining for the anti-Kapler that are kind of bogged down by the analytics. I mean, you need somebody that's going to be able to dance the dance because you can't have polarizing, you know, methodologies banging at one another, right? You can't have that. So, you know, if Showalter can come in, you know, and be a little amenable, that might be the better answer for them.
Michael?
I don't care. I'll be honest with you. I don't have a candidate because I look around baseball. I go, who's Kevin Cash? Like, who's Davey Martinez?
When he took over.
Yeah, but he was a bench coach under Madden, right? Yeah. Davey Martinez. He played in the league. Yeah. I don't know from Kevin Cash. You know, there are guys out there that can work that don't have to be named Buck Showalter.
You need talent, too.
This was the wrong guy. This guy was a fairy tale that they hired. I don't want a fairy tale. I want a guy who looks at a player and goes, Sean Rodriguez, he can't play for me. You know what I'm saying?
You gotta have eyeballs
for players. And I know that the Phillies don't have a lot of players you can choose from, but you gotta identify who can play and who can't. And you gotta advise, like, we gotta trade this guy and we gotta do this. We gotta have set players at set positions who can play. The Phillies went through a whole year where they had no idea who could play.
They had no right-handed hitter off the bench.
But they had seven lefties.
Right.
I mean, yeah. Well, the roster construction is a disgrace.
Well, but that's on Klentak. And that's why it drives me insane that he doesn't get the bullseye the way Kapler got the bullseye. Listen, Kapler's a joke, right? The guy didn't belong here. Forget about him. The idea that Sean Rodriguez had seven lefties, that they thought that those four pitchers would be the answer, that is all the information I know that Klentak needs to go.
No practice.
Well, see, I'm trying to manage with what I got. I knew Klentak wasn't going to go, so I can't think.
No,
that
I
way.
Know, but here's the thing:
that don't happen next
it's
year.
It's wrong.
That don't happen next year.
Well, yeah, you get your manager, and then you get that's your buffer, Senator. It's your buffer.
Exactly. And there, knowing the year goes by on an extension you just gave him, it makes it easier for you to fire him. What's going to happen with Klentak this year is going to vastly improve what the Phillies do.
Yeah.
Nothing. He can't. There's so many positions they have to fill. It's impossible for them to get the right mix to contend next year.
Yeah. There's not enough free agents available to be able to fix the rotation.
Yeah, even if you got Gerrit Cole.
I don't have enough. And they have no equity in their farm system to use to trade to get pitching.
The beauty is they've got to change current starters.
Yeah.
Like their double play combination, both have to go. Hernandez, because he doesn't create any kind of a difference. Right? He's an okay player. Doesn't create a difference. The shortstop is poison.
Poison.
The shortstop is absolute poison. Poison. And a manager has to go.
And that's why he's been on four different teams.
Exactly.
And that's why, what a great trainer. Klentak got Segura. Yeah. You know what? Seattle was like, here, take him.
Yeah.
Take him.
And he's a guy that has a little bit of talent.
He's got skulls on the bottom.
Four teams got rid of him for a reason, because he brings you down with nonsense.
I'll bring you
plays
down.
Plays when he wants to play.
Right down to Chinatown.
We do have some more news from Bob Nightingale. Anthony, it's your boy saying, Joe Madden's top choice is still to manage the Angels, followed by the Dodgers, but the Phillies certainly pique his interest. Buck Showalter, who already has an interview scheduled with the Angels, is also a strong candidate, along with Mike Socia for the Phillies job.
Mike Trout.
Yeah. Or you can do Harper, but.
I know. I just wanted to say that.
Yeah.
All right, come up. I need to know one thing. T-Mac, how long are you here for?
Until the top of the hour.
All right, well, we got to do Eagles. Then we'll table Carter Hart until next hour. All right?
Next hour, next week.
We got to talk next hour.
I want to talk.
The hockey dynamic of me and Martinez.
I know.
What time are you here? Are you here till noon, Mike?
No.
Huh.
I'm here till 11.
Just give me five.
Give me
5 minutes.
I'll give you extra.
All right. We'll start off with Carter Hart because I want to see the dynamic between two hockey guys.
Give me two.
And you are a hockey guy. I've always contended this. But coming up, we have T-Mac here. I got to talk Birds with T-Mac and what we feel about Sunday and then moving forward with the trade deadline.
Gabe Kapler's out, Ant.
This is the...
It's the Gabe Kaplerless Phillies all of a sudden.
Yeah, it was a very valiant effort.
Oh, my God. I'm going to miss it in some weird way.
No more Gabriel on your what's the line called?
Bring the heat line.
I don't think that Gabriel's funny at all, by the way.
You don't appreciate Gabriel?
I don't think it's funny.
He's in I met him. He's a good guy. He was at the pierogi.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Gabriel.
I don't think he's funny.
All right. Well, we're going to come up to a perch straight ahead.
A lot to get to.
It is the Midday Show.
All-star
Jason Ortiz, I'm Anthony Gargano. That's right. Celebrating 10 years of the Fanatic.
I got to tell you about my friends at the Rothenberg Law Firm. Now, sports radio hosts, sports fans. We talk about our great Philly teams, our players, their stats, and every sports fan knows how important stats are. They often measure success, figure out what's working. Well, when I saw the stats at the Rothenberg Law Firm, I was blown away. Yeah, I've known that Allen and his firm have been winning here in Philly for years, but it's even bigger than that. So check out these stats. Did you know that they've been winning for injured people for nearly 50 years? Did you know that they've helped thousands and thousands of people with all kinds of injury cases? And did you know that they've won billions of dollars for injured people? That's billions with a B. Now, you don't have to be a manager of a team to know that these guys are winners. The stats say it all. So if you're injured and you want to win, you make the call to the Rothenberg Law Firm. I know this to be true. They're not going to be satisfied until they win for you. So here's the number, 1-800-624-8888. That's 1-800-624-8888. Or you can check out their website at injurylawyer.com. Again, the website, injurylawyer.com.
Gargano and Martinez Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
How's everyone doing?
All right. It is All-Star Day. With us right now on the Midday Show is T-Mac. And there he is.
Out.
Right. MGM.
I still love popping around here, man.
I still love reading you.
Yeah?
Yeah. The Inquirer was the best.
The MG.
Sal Pal.
They were fun days.
They were
newspaper was the
that was always awesome.
Great experience of my life.
It what really was. I wasn't ready to give it up. You talked me out of it. You said, but I mean, you're right.
You're like, I don't know if I was right. Why not?
I know.
I
love to write.
Yeah,
to this day. I haven't gotten it out of my system.
Yeah. It was tough for me to get out of my system early on, then I did.
Yeah.
It was like you spend so much time mentally exhausting yourself doing sports like radio, you have nothing left to write. But you're different.
Yeah.
You can't stop writing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. I love to. It's my happy place.
16. He's got this little notebook he carries around. He hears a name. So, he's writing it down.
It was a great character named this guy, St. Clair, calls up yesterday. His father was adopted by a woman from Paris and named him St. Clair.
Really?
And I was like, wow, that's awesome. He was St. Clair Jr., St. Clair. And so I wrote it down. That's a character name.
There you go.
Like it was just,
yeah, you're always looking for the character.
Yeah, that's
but it was nothing. Like newspaper was trained you so much because you're on deadline and you're on the gun and you have no choice. Like you have no choice but to be present in that moment.
It's
true. It's almost like it's not like being an athlete, but it kind of is in that you have to perform. Because the Inquirer deadlines were tough. You know,
try being in New York.
Yeah, your deadlines are even worse.
We had it 6:05. I had to do it early. That would be in at 3:30. Then it's 6:05, and then on every hour.
Yeah, my best story was when I was covering the '89 national championship game in Seattle. And the game started at 6:00 Seattle time. So it was 9:00 Eastern time. And the paper was holding up the publication of the newspaper. My story was the last story in that night.
Yeah.
The game goes into overtime. Seton Hall and Michigan. Seton Hall takes a 1-point lead on a shot by Andrew Gaze.
Wow! That's bust out!
And the story of Seton Hall is that they were like a lower seed and they were on the West Coast. They're in West Regional for like, they had to win 5 in the West Regional. So it was like the fantastic victory of Seton Hall's whole existence. So I write 6. I'm telling you, I was F. Scott Fitzgerald. 6 of the best paragraphs I've ever written.
Boom. It's
ready to send the story. And my desk is, go get the story in!
Ah! Yeah, they scream at you.
Right. And so I got my finger on the button. Michigan inbounds the ball. Ramil Robinson gets fouled.
Oh!
On a drive. It was a phantom call.
Oh!
And I go, oh, no.
I stay.
Right? Yeah. So it's 1 point. I look at the stats. Ramil Robinson shoot 44% from the line. I go, I'm good. I got the finger on the send button. He makes the first.
Ah!
And it makes the second.
Oh, my God.
I raised 6 of the greatest paragraphs I've ever written in my life and rewrite the story. And they're yelling, get it in.
Oh, it's the worst. It's the worst. I used to have to cover these fights in Vegas. And, you know, the fight doesn't come on until 11 o'clock. And I'm covering these Tyson fights. And they're like, that you want you to dictate. Uh-huh. And I can't, it was hard for me to dictate as I'm watching, I'm on the phone, they're like, dictate. I'm like, I need to write it, I need to see the words.
Yeah.
And they would scream at you. Yeah. Oh, Tyson lands a left hook, and you know, dances. And they're like, I don't even know what I'm saying. And somehow they have to write it.
Yeah, you basically have to do things that are like, you know, impossible in your brain when you start out. And there's no preparation for that. Like, I remember when I graduated from Rhode Island and my last semester I was working for a college football website, which was actually called CoachPaterno.com.
Get out!
Yeah, which was this national website. And they hired me right out of school, but then the dot-com bubble burst and they're like, forget that offer, you know, go back to Philly. So I go back to Philly, and my cousin is Ronnie Polineski, the columnist for the Daily News. She gets me in front of Pat McClune. Mm-hmm. And this is like a huge thing for me. I'm walking into what I consider like these legendary walls, you know, like reading the Daily News religiously and being able to sit down with him. And he's like, so tell me what you're doing. And I like, the hardest thing you've done so far. I was like, I had to cover this Georgia game. It was like from my couch. And I was like, I had to have a story the next day by 10 o'clock. And he just started laughing at me. And he's like, you know, you got a lot to learn. But then you start getting on deadlines. And like how some of the great deadline writers, like how they have this kind of prose, this poetry, you know, when they're typing like 1,000, you know, words a second. It's crazy.
Unbelievable. And I can't tell you how many baseball games, playoff game, Yankee World Series.
Oh, yeah. You're covering the beat, the baseball beat.
Like,
the
Mets
beat is like impossible.
And like, you know, how many times the games change? Mm-hmm. Like, and you're writing constantly. So you have like a body of a story, and then you're looking to top it off with I'd send the body. Like, it's called running as you write it. You write your running copy. And then so you write your running copy, then you'd have to top football, Super Bowls. Like, it was so hard. But then, you know, and then you got to go down and you do a right through. And
yeah, but once you get through that, you can do anything.
Yeah.
That's the thing about writing.
Yeah.
If you can do that, you can do anything.
There was nothing better later on when I was there where I used to write these 5,000-word pieces for Sunday, and I would have 3 days. And I would lock myself, like I'd be in the road.
And you change it 100,000 times.
100,000 times.
Yep.
I'm doing it now, Mike. On this script.
I know, because you read it over and then you go, wait.
I got a better line.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You find a flaw.
The more time you have, the worse it is in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah. No, because you use
100%.
You'll use every second of it. T-Mac, all right, I'm sorry, because we this is how it works on All-Star Day.
I love it.
Tell us about Sunday. How are you feeling about Vikings? What worries me, I'll just lead you to this, Diggs and Thielen against the corners is my fear. I know Cousins, and he'll throw it up to you, but I am worried about their wide receiver talent.
Yeah, they've gotten the good Cousins a lot, too. And that, to me, this is sort of the X factor. If he ends up looking like a serviceable quarterback and can take advantage of those mismatches on the outside, then all of a sudden, it starts opening some things up for Dalvin Cook, and it's good night. So I think that's really what the game is going to boil down to here. I think the good thing for him is that, you know, Fletcher Cox is starting to look a little bit more like himself, and you got the defensive line is starting to come together. And just being in the locker room yesterday, you know, they're definitely in a state of mind that I haven't really seen this year, where you're starting to feel like there's energy that's building up.
That's awesome.
That I took notice of, especially on the defensive front. But
I think, you know, I get on Schwartz. I think he's had a sensational year with nothing to work with. He's called. I've seen corner blitzes. I've seen in different kinds of pressures.
Say you like the heat. He's been bringing the heat.
Yeah, well, you know, who's my boy, right? So I'm always been a heat guy. I'm a heat guy all the time. Mikey knows that. We're heat guys. But I think he's done a great job in that. It's my contention. I'm going to get your opinion on this, and we'll let you go. But they need a receiver. I know they need a cornerback, and you could argue they need defensive line help. I want another receiver. I don't think the receivers are good enough. You're going to need to win. Unless Deshaun is back and you can count on Deshaun, and I don't know, I still think they need another receiver. I want Emmanuel Sanders.
You know, I agree with you. The more that I kind of learn about Deshaun's injury, the more I get concerned that it's not that you might not see like Deshaun Jackson, even when he does come back.
So it affects his ability and his explosiveness.
Right. He didn't, you know, it was recommended that he get surgery. He didn't get surgery. He's been doing the natural healing thing. But my understanding is he's going to have to play through pain, that he's not going to come back and it's never going to be like 100%. There's going to be pain tolerance throughout the rest of the year. And the question becomes, you know, what does that look like for a 32-year-old guy who is built on speed, who's dealing with this abdominal tear that's going to be lingering to a certain extent? And we kind of came into the season thinking, look at the depth at wide receiver, and then the depth has to stand up, and the depth isn't there. Matt Collins has been a disappointment. Nelson Agholor, is not ready, and Nelson Agholor is just way too inconsistent. He's tantalizing. He's got his moments, but you can't rely.
I got nothing for. I wanted to get rid of him. I thought it was a mistake coming back with him. He can't catch. I mean, like he's a slot guy who has got horrible hands. Like that's a bad. You know, I watch Belichick, and he always has guys that can catch the football in space. Hands guys. He's not a hands guy.
Yeah, you can see where his frustration comes from, too, because he does get, like, separation. He does get open. And so you could, from his vantage point, look at him and be like, look at me, man. Like, but as a quarterback, how do you have
I'm
that?
I'm throwing to him.
Right?
Yeah. I'm not throwing to him. Why am I going to throw to him a little bit? Can't stay.
Snowshoe hands, like you
call. Pizza board hands, snowshoe hands. He needs to go back to the Institute to get a hands transplant.
Real quick, John Middleton put out a statement. I just want to give you one line from it regarding the new manager search. It said, reflecting on the season, I've decided that some changes are necessary to achieve our ultimate objective. Consequently, we will replace our manager. I'm indebted to Gabe for the steadfast effort, energy, and enthusiasm he brought to our club, and we are unquestionably a better team and organization as a result of his contributions. Here's the line. With Matt leading our search for our next manager, I am confident we will find the right person to lead us. Thanks for that. You're listening to 97.5 Fanatic WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia. We're a Beasley Media Group station, and we broadcast from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.